There's a company on the internet that spells its name R-E-M-O-O-V, remove. And they have sort of a niche of a specialty in that they specialize in cleaning out the homes of hoarders. And maybe you watch the show Hoarders a time or two, people who have a compulsion to hang on to things, sometimes even just paper trash. They have classified these homes into three categories, and they charge their prices accordingly. So the first one is for light hoarders. To clean the clutter out of their house, they charge somewhere between $1,000 and $3,000. The next category is moderate hoarding, with multiple rooms impacted. This often includes blocked areas, buried furniture, and a larger volume that requires more crew time and more trips to empty the truck. That costs a bit more. That might cost up to $8,000 to clean that home. And then finally, they have their severe hoarding cleanout, which can involve floor-to-ceiling accumulation, strong odors, pests, mold, animal waste, or blocked exits. Typical costs there are up to $25,000 to clean that home, but even more if it requires decontamination. Well, you're saying to yourself, I would never pile stuff up from the floor to the ceiling. Good grief. And I'm agreeing with you. I would never do that either. I spread mine out into multiple piles. And so, with that in mind, let's listen to our lesson for this morning, shall we? It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Jesus is speaking, and here's what he says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As I see it, there are two commands in this passage, and they're two sides of the same coin, although maybe coin isn't the phrase to use when we're talking about treasures, but do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's the first command, and it's a negative. Do not do this, right? Store up for yourself treasures on earth. One translation that I really think gets at the meaning better that I like is, do not treasure earthly treasures. Now, there's great wisdom in that command, even from just a temporal earthly perspective, don't you think? Because, well, first off, let's understand what Jesus is saying about these earthly things that people treasure. He says, moth and rust destroy them, and whatever those things don't, literally, they're eaten up, he says. And whatever is not eaten up, well, thieves can steal them. In other words, the things of this earth are always at risk of destruction or theft. Not only that, when you die, you're going to give it up anyway. It stays here when you leave this life, and so you'll not take it with you. Now, that's the first command. Do not treasure up treasures on this earth. The second command is positive. The first was negative. This one's positive. And he says, do this. Do what? Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Well, now that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because those heavenly treasures last forever. And if they last forever, and if the earthly ones at best last until I die, and many don't even last that long, well, then it makes perfect sense to treasure those things that are in heaven. Because they last for an eternity. So exactly then, how do we do that? Well, that's easy, isn't it? Because Jesus said this. He said, whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I tell you, he says, he shall by no means lose his reward. So building up treasures in heaven is accomplished by my good deeds to other people. Well, might not be that simple, because here's the deal. If I do good works to get a reward, why, that's actually selfish. And then that, by definition, makes it not a good work. It seems kind of like there's a catch-22 there. And so where is the resolution to this? It is in the last statement. Two commands and a declarative here that Jesus, in the last statement, he declares this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this is where he gets to the heart of this matter. The real question is not how do I build my treasure, but what is my treasure already? What is it that I'm seeking? What is it I'm trying to build? What is it that I want most of all? And so I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. What is it that you have set your heart upon? It's tempting, isn't it, to set our hearts upon the things of this life? They are so physical, we can touch them, we can see them, and we can't see with our eyes the things in heaven. We can't touch those things with our hands. What is it that you treasure? St. Paul said, we walk among the unseen things. Is it money that you treasure? Or is it what you can buy with money? By the way, is Jesus telling us then, in light of this, to take a vow of poverty? Well, no, there are some very rich people in the Bible. And today there are some multimillionaires whose treasure is in heaven. And there are some poor people whose treasure is the few coins they have in their pocket. If money or the things that money can buy is your treasure, you need to repent. The question is, what am I treasuring now? Whatever it is that tempts you, and there are things that tempt me, just like they do you, to which kingdom do those things belong? What is it in which you find your security? This is not a matter of possessions, but a matter of the heart. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So what is it that you fear losing? Let me tell you something that is true. As important as the things of this life are, I mean, we have to have money or else we become wards of the state, and that's not good either, is it? So as important as those things are, nobody's fancy car, nobody's house on the lake, nobody's mansion, nobody's boat, nobody's jewelry, none of those things ever lived a life in your place and then offered that life to God in your place. But Jesus did. With all the things that we can enjoy, it can be tempting to take for granted that Jesus is my greatest treasure. He's the one who suffered in my place. He's the one who purchased with his own blood the forgiveness of all of my sins and the forgiveness of all of yours. From the greatest to the least, to the sins that burden your conscience, he has removed them all. And he's the one who's going to welcome you into heaven with his arms open wide and a smile on his face, regardless of how you think of yourself, when all of these treasures have rusted away. So hold on to the things of this life loosely. They are not worth what they seem to be. And hold on to Jesus tightly. Hold tightly to his forgiveness, to his word, to his body and blood given to you in his sacrament. Hold on to his people tightly. These are the true treasures, because they will last into eternity. Amen.